So the reading is from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait at tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte in Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. That was far too quiet for this cold morning. So let's warm up. Good morning, everyone. Oh, that's much better. Great. So today we are looking at serving together. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, will you come and be with us as we hear what you are saying? May our eyes and ears be open to what your Spirit is saying to us today. Will you wash away all of the distractions of this past week and as we come to worship you today? In Jesus' name, amen. So the early church was growing rapidly and they were faced with challenges. Acts 6, 1-7 shows us how early the church faced a crucial problem that could have led to division. But instead, they turned it to an opportunity for unity instead. And of course, that came to growth. This passage teaches us valuable lessons about service, about leadership, and working together for the sake of Jesus' good news. Today, we are going to look at this passage that applies to our lives today also, especially in the context with the service within the church. We'll explore 3 key topics, if you like: the importance of addressing the needs, then serving together, and the power of serving together. So let's look at the needs. As the early church grew, so did the needs of the community. An internal problem rose between Jewish-speaking widows and Greek-speaking widows, likely the Greek ones, likely to be converted around Pentecost. Now, depending on which Bible study you go with and also the translations, you will see that the problem actually lies with either the Jewish widows being left out or the Greek. Upon reflection, I would say it would be actually the Greek widows, because the Jewish ones were in majority and therefore cared for the most. So the problem that you've got 2 conflicting cultures, if you like, coming together who speak 2 different languages, but yet believe in the same God and are worshipping God in the same place. And so you've got these 2 interesting problems at hand here. So the widows, particularly among the Greeks, were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And this wasn't just a logistical issue, this was also a spiritual and relational problem as well. these vulnerable members of the community being neglected, and that neglect could easily have caused division. So in our own lives, church, communities, families and friends, etc., we need to be aware of the needs of those around us. It's easy to overlook certain groups or individuals, especially as our churches and families grow. Are there people in our life who are being overlooked or are struggling in silence? We are called as believers not just to focus on what is going well, but to notice and respond to the areas of need. As Christians, we are part of a body, all of us, as believers. And when one part suffers, we all suffer. So take time this week to ask yourself two things. Who might need support in the community? And are there any needs in the church that we have ignored or assumed someone else is addressing? Let's be intentional about looking out for those who might be falling through the cracks. Serving together. So the apostles recognized that their primary calling was to preach the word of God and pray. But they also realized the importance of serving through other ways, such as practical means. Instead of trying to do everything themselves, they wisely delegated the task of caring for the widows to seven men who were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. This is an excellent example of shared leadership. Not one person can meet all the needs of a community, nor is it right to, because we are all called to be a body of Jesus. That's all of us. We all have our part to play. And in church, in families, and also workplaces, it's crucial to have a team of people working together, each using their unique gifts. The apostles didn't say, we're too important to serve tables. They recognized that both prayer and service were important. Now, when we read Ephesians 4:12, we read that their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, in our own lives, are we trying to do too much on our own? I know I like to do things a lot of on my own as an introvert. Are we hesitant to delegate because we think that no one else can do the job as well as us? Or maybe is it just as easier just to do it ourselves? This passage reminds us that healthy serving means knowing when to ask for help and when to empower others to lead. We are so blessed to have a church here, all of us, who volunteer and serve in so many different ways. But for those of you who are wondering how and where I can serve, consider this. How might God be calling you to serve today? And I'm sure Paul and I would be willing to come alongside you and to pray and discern that with you. Number three, the unity and the growth that comes from serving together. The church's solution to this problem led to greater unity, not division. They didn't let the problem fester. They addressed it head on with wisdom and prayer. As a result, the church continued to grow. And even those who were previously distant from faith, the Jewish priests, also came to believe in Jesus because of such unity and because of people sharing the good news of Jesus. Last week, as I mentioned earlier, I was in Sweden, and one story I was told was that there was a law that when you turned 14, you had to get confirmed in the Church of Sweden. But that the Church of Sweden was separated from the state 30 years ago, and that law was abolished. And the number of confirmation candidates fell dramatically. So the church leadership wanted to change this, so they invested money into people and courses. But before they did that, they sought God on what his will was. And they are now seeing young people wanting to get confirmed. This confirmation is a really big deal out there for majority of the Christians. And they are now seeing up to 200 young people in each district come forward for confirmation. That was like the nice part. I think the better part is this, that the young people are bringing their parents, their brothers and sisters, their aunties, their uncles, their grannies, their granddads to church. And you see a completely different way when God moves. He moves in miraculous ways that we could not even imagine. That a young person is bringing their whole family to church to meet with Jesus is just incredible. And of course, here we are looking at how we can change our youth work and discipleship with young people. And so let's pray, wait and see what God is going to do through these changes. So when we work together with each person, fulfilling a calling to serve in the area of gifting that they are gifted with, the whole church benefits. And the good news of Jesus advances like a ripple effect. The unity in service is a powerful testimony to the world. It shows that we are a community that cares for one another, for those who are not yet believers, because we are not exclusive. All of the ministries that we offer welcome everyone. And we serve together because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us and because of his love for us and our love for him. When you serve in church or community, wherever that might be, there are roles that are visible and non-visible, such as preaching, teaching, behind-the-scenes roles like setting up chairs, mopping the floor, cleaning the cobwebs, serving meals, visiting the sick, even cleaning the toilets and cutting the hedge. You are all part of God's mission. And as we serve, we should, at every opportunity, as people pass us, or those that are around us, share the good news of what Jesus has done in our hearts. So think about your current involvement. Are you actively serving in some capacity? If not, consider where you might be able to help. And if you are able serving, serve in a way that promotes unity and helps church growth by sharing what Jesus has done. So the story of the early church in Acts 6 reminds us that growth and challenges go hand in hand. But the way we handle those challenges can either bring division or unity. When we recognize needs, pray and serve together, God's kingdom grows. Corrie ten Boom once said, "Be united with Christians all the time. A wall with loose bricks is not good because it would tumble and fall, but bricks must be cemented together." This week, let's commit to being more aware of the needs around us, to sharing the load, serving together, and working together for the sake of the gospel. Whether you are serving in a small way or a big way, remember that every act of service is done in Jesus' name and contributes to the growth of God's kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just come now and speak to our hearts. Give us wisdom that we need. Just as you did with the early church, send your Holy Spirit to all of us as faithful servants. In his mission, we pray. Amen.